Susie Wilkins, now 90 years old, was the favorite resident in the peaceful old retirement home visited weekly by Pastor Emil Jinks. Now, the pastor loved to sit in the quiet serenity and visit with this elderly woman whom he considered so special. And the pastor's people knew that he considered his time with Susie a little piece of heaven. But when he entered her room during his last pastoral visit, she was not there. He saw this as the perfect opportunity to pursue some much-needed peace, so he sat himself in her old rocker and helped himself to some peanuts sitting in the bowl beside him. When Susie returned to the room, the pastor cordially brushed off her apologies for being late, and he said to her, "Oh, don't give it another thought, Susie. I had a good time resting in your chair and munching on your peanuts. Unfortunately, my dear, I ate them all, and for that, I apologize." Susie quickly stilled his protest by saying, "Oh, Pastor, forget about that. I just sucked the chocolate off of them anyway and put them right back in the bowl." That's the second time I've told that joke in this church, and I lost my appetite again. I can't believe that happened. All right, so who wants peace? We all want peace, right? In fact, there's nothing like looking at someone's vacation photos to give you peace. You're going to see a scroll here. What we're going to do is we're going to take you through our vacation to the Great Smoky Mountains, and it started right here at this ranger station. And what we did is our goal was to go up to a place in the Smoky Mountains called Clingman's Dome. It is the highest, supposedly, it's the highest peak in the Smoky Mountains. It is a place that we had sought after. I had read about it, done some research, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to see just how high we could get. I was, as a kid, I'd been to the mountains, but not anything like this. I didn't remember it anyway. And so the ranger station had informed us. They said, "You're going to have a lot of photo stops along the way. Take advantage of those. Stop and take your time. It's about an hour drive from the base of the mountain all the way up to the top." And so we did, and you're going to see there's a lot of photos that we took. My camera was always out, and Cam was driving. I was constantly telling Cam, "Pull over, pull over, pull over." But the one thing that we noticed is, and it's really neat, is that we made our way up to the top of this mountain, and we finally got to what's called Clingman's Dome. This is where we're at. And again, down below it was 72 degrees. Up top it was 52 degrees. And so here's where we were. This is literally at the top. 30-degree walk as we're going up to get to our point. You can see this is our pathway. The girls were making their way. Mom and I were holding back. Long mile trek. So here you can see this is actually the walkway to get up to the top of Clingman's Dome. Now, the one thing I want to share about this, folks, and this is why I bring this up today. You didn't come here to look at my vacation photos, I know. There is a purpose for this. The one thing that I want to share is that when we got out of our car and got up to the top of Clingman's Dome, I have never experienced anything like this in my life. I've been to a lot of different places, but nothing like this. There was not one sound. You can see the mist. It looks like smoke. That's why they call them Smoky Mountains. The mist surrounding us, it almost like you had to peel it aside. There were no sounds. There were no birds. There were no bugs. There was nothing. We could hear nothing. It was the most peaceful place that I have ever been in my life. And I immersed myself in this. And as I was walking up doing that mile trek on a 30-degree angle, I was thinking, I'm probably going to have to do a sermon on this, because everybody needs to experience this kind of peace. You can see that it was very chilly on the top of the mountain. And so when we got up there, we realized, and I realized that this was going to be a very, very difficult thing to recreate. So I thought, what better way to do it than to show pictures? So once we did this, we actually started our trek down. We were up there for probably 30, 45 minutes. But the peace up there was something that I probably could not repeat or translate in any better way than what I'm doing today. Now, so we made our way back down. There's a lot of photo ops. You're going to see we took a lot of photos getting down to our place. That trek went a little bit faster than it did coming up. Had a lot of tunnels through mountains and so on. We actually ended up at a place called the Chimneys in the Great Smoky Mountains. If you've ever been there, you know this is one of the most peaceful, one of the most amazing picnic places you will ever see. I had researched at the ranger station and confirmed that this is the place you want to eat lunch. So before our trek up to the mountains, we went to Subway, got our sandwiches, got our picnic, put it in the cooler, made every effort to get to the Chimneys. This is what I want to share, and Dan, before we get to that video, which I know is coming, I want to share this real quick. Our goal was to get to the Chimneys in a timely manner to have lunch. Now, the Chimneys is located right along a rapid mountain stream, which you can see right here. Literally, you can eat lunch. If you take a step over, you are in the stream. So we ate lunch, canopy of trees, can't see up. It makes Funk's Grove look like a prairie. And we got done eating. We said, we have to get in the stream. Now, we didn't want to get in the stream. We wanted to walk on the rocks, and we wanted to kind of walk through the stream in that way. Our goal was to make it across the stream. Dan, if you want to play that video now, this is what we recorded, and I hope that we've got sound, and you're going to be able to hear this the way it was played for us, and I hope it works. You're going to have to make your way across. There's going to be ways to maneuver through these rocks to get to the other side. Now, Jada was like a gnat on these rocks. I mean, she could go through all of them. Jillian was a little slower. I was holding us back. I was the anchor of the group. Cam was a smart one. She stood on the side, and she watched us, and she was the one who said, "I'm not getting out there." The reason I tell this story is because I never thought I could find another place of peace like Klingman's Dome. I found it in the stream. It was amazing. Men were fishing out there. People were sitting and putting their feet in the water where they could. And so I decided, we made that decision to go to the other side. Now, here's what happened. Jada got across first. She was almost over the other side. Jillian was in front of us. And I had just put my foot on a rock, and I went in. I fell in. Right on my right hip, literally went into the stream. So as I get up, and I am not happy about it, I am muddy, I am wet, I feel disgusting, and I look at the girls, I said, and the girls are laughing because I am wet, and I looked at the girls and said, "Girls, we're going." Now, here's my point. My point is that my peace, my place of peace, ended on that day, at that time, in that stream. Similarly, Pastor Jink's place of peace departed with his chocolate-less peanuts. I think we would all readily agree that we are constantly looking and striving for some harmony, some serenity, some peace, and some rest in our lives. A businessman slash husband tells this story. He says, "Arriving home from work at my usual hour of 5 o'clock p.m., I discovered that it had not been one of my wife's better days. Nothing I said or did seemed to be right. By 7 o'clock p.m., things had not only not changed, but they had gotten worse. So I suggested that I go outside, pretend that I had just gotten home, and start all over again. My wife readily agreed. So I went outside, came back in, and announced with a big smile, 'Honey, I'm home.' She replied sharply, 'And just where have you been? It's after 7 o'clock. Sadly, this proves the point, that sadly, our homes, our offices, hospitals, classrooms, family rooms, dining rooms, sometimes even our church rooms are not the place of peace that we actually envisioned. When discussing peace, one Christian writer claimed that that word peace in the Bible actually means to tie together as a whole when all essential parts are joined together. Inner peace, the writer continues, is a wholeness of mind and spirit, a whole heart at rest. He concludes, inner peace has little to do with external surroundings. Now, we stayed at a condo in Tennessee in our vacation. It's a beautiful 2-bedroom, massive condo. And we were on the top floor. And the thing I loved about this condo is, beyond the fact that it was just incredible, was at a huge balcony. And the balcony overlooked the golf course. And so what we did is, we got in Wednesday night, and we decided to go to Walmart. By the way, Walmart in Sevierville, Tennessee is not a place of peace. There is no peace at a Walmart in Sevierville, Tennessee. But we went there, we got our breakfast items to have breakfast, and here's what we did. We bought a carton of chai tea latte, and that was my place of peace. I went out to that balcony every single morning on my vacation, sat in those comfortable chairs, drank my iced chai tea latte, and that is where I prayed to God. And for 15 minutes, I could not be interrupted. For 15 minutes, all I could hear was the birds chirping, the sound of the club hitting the ball, the puttering of the golf cart going down the fairway, and my conversation with God. And it was amazing. But here's what I realized. I realized that I couldn't stay on that balcony. You see, I had a tight schedule on my vacation. I know you're shocked by that. We were literally timed down to the minute. And so I knew that at 15 minutes I had to go and we had to be at our next place. Time to go. Prayer ends, we are out the door. And here's what I realized. I realized that our external surroundings will change. And I also realized that for us to have peace, our inner being must be changed. Now, while we can change, or our schedules force us to change our external surroundings, only God himself can change our inner being. Paul said in Romans 15:33, he says, "And now may our God, who gives peace, be with you all." You see, God gives peace to those who say, "I need you to change me. I need you to comfort me. I need you to be with me because right now I feel no peace." Forget the external surroundings, folks. This is a conversation about our inner being. God told Moses to tell his people in Leviticus 26:3-6. He says, "If you obey," he's talking to his people, he says, "If you obey all of my commandments, I, God, will give you peace." Now, God's people must have thought, yeah, we can do that. Obey? Okay. That's easy enough, until they didn't do it, until they realized they couldn't do it, until they realized they failed at it, at which point they said, oh, no. And at that point, they lost the peace that God had promised them because they couldn't obey. You see, peace comes with a price, folks. There is a price. There was a price for God's people. There's a price for his people today. And that price is required. And that price is seen and made evident today in this church. You see, it required someone greater than a law to bring peace. It had nothing to do with the place. It had everything to do with the person. That person is God's son. Isaiah 9:6 calls him the Prince of Peace. And this prince paid a great price. Isaiah 53:5 says this, "He was beaten that we might have peace." Paul said regarding Jesus, our Prince of Peace, in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, he says, "May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace no matter what happens." Now see, that eliminates changing external surroundings because those things happen. I had to leave Klingman's Dome. I had to pull my wet body out of a mountain stream. Those things happen. I had to leave a balcony overlooking a golf course. Those things happen. External surroundings happen. Our inner being is something that is always going to be with us. And it's the thing that will change us when Jesus fills us. In Ephesians 2:14, Paul said, "For Christ himself is our way of peace." Even Jesus knew of his peace. He knew of the power of his peace. He said this in John 16:33. He says, "I have told you," he's talking to his disciples, he says, "I have told you all of this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth you will have trials and sorrows, but cheer up, for I've overcome the world." You realize what that means? That means that he overcame your trials and your sorrows. That means that only he and only he can overcome your trials and sorrows to bring you peace. N. Allen Mosley once said, "Those who know Jesus know his peace." And strangely and ironically, this is where oftentimes our problem begins. Because in many cases, we really don't know Jesus. We know about Jesus. Oh yeah, that's the guy with the beard. Yeah, I think we celebrate Christmas. I think that's the reason we do Christmas, because of Jesus. I mean, I've heard of him. I know people talk about him. Some people are crazy. Some people actually look like him. But yeah, I know about him. We might spend 1 hour a week in a place that worships Jesus. We might even own a book that talks about Jesus. But do we really know Jesus? You see, if we don't know Jesus by believing in him and loving him and living for him, learning about him, we can't, because we won't, allow our inner being, not our external surroundings, to be changed by him. In many cases, we'll say this, "I don't need to be changed." Or, "I tell you what, if I want peace, I'll go find it. I'll find my place of peace. I'll take my vacation. I'll seek my getaway. I'll find a new job. I'll look for a new school. I'll find a new spouse. But whatever that is, my external surroundings will promise me a place of peace." And how many times have we said, that place doesn't exist? Or if it does, it's only temporary at best. Today we have to realize that our place of peace won't always last. And so what happens is this. We remain wicked and unrepentant. We remain as evildoers and sinners. Isaiah 48, 22 says, but there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Isaiah 57, 22, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Peace is not found in a place. Peace is faith, life-changing faith in a person, God's Son, Jesus, who is fully capable of changing us. So let me take you back to the stream. I'm a man that doesn't like to get dirty. That's why I can never farm. Drove my dad nuts. Yesterday I mowed. My grass is like white. It's not even brown. It's white and the dust was flying all over me. I'm like, I hate this. I don't like getting dirty. So I get out of the stream and I'm muddy and I'm wet and I'm just standing there and I'm looking at myself like, great. Just great. Now, I'm a guy that, and this is what happens to me. I typically, when something bad happens, I get upset. Now, I've told this story before, but I'm going to give you a little shot of my past. When I was young, I was, I think, 4 or 5. I was in pre-K, kindergarten. I don't remember which one. I had milk. I couldn't open the carton. Spilled the milk. It went all over the front of me. The kids were laughing, and I got up and trashed the classroom. Kicked a chair across the classroom, threatening all the kids. It was horrific. It was the worst scene you can ever imagine. There was no peace in that. I know you're looking at me like, he's a monster. I was a monster. I'm not any longer. Well, not so much. But the teacher that was in that classroom, she lives down by my brother. She's like, I remember that day. He was crazy. She was right. But here's my point. I didn't have peace. And so when those things would typically happen, I would lose it. So instantly, Cam is over on the shore of the stream. The girls are looking at me. I'm wet, I'm muddy, and they're thinking, uh-oh, he's going to blow. And I said, girls, let's go. And they knew. They didn't even bat an eye. They just came. We get in the car. Cam puts a garbage bag down on the seat so I don't get seat wet. That's, she's always prepared. No video on that. Not one video. And if there was, I wouldn't show it anyway. But I'm going to confess something. I got to confess something. If you've ever been in Smoky Mountain National Park, you got to go through Gatlinburg. Really, you got to go through Gatlinburg to get there. There's another way, but I don't know what that is. And so Gatlinburg's a neat city. It's a neat city. It's got a lot of businesses stacked on top. It's very touristy, trappy type of place. Folks, I love ice cream. And so as we're going down the main strip at Gatlinburg, I look over, and there is a Ben & Jerry's ice cream shop. Now, I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell my kids. But let me tell you, we were going to hit the Ben & Jerry's ice cream shop on the way back. But I'm wet, I'm dirty, I'm muddy, and I'm not happy. And so Jillian loves ice cream like I do, so she's the peacemaker in back seat, and she says, Dad, let's just go back to the condo, change clothes, and we can go back to Gatlinburg. Now, I knew exactly what she was thinking. Number one, I want ice cream, and number two, I know you're not going to get it if you're muddy. So we were going by it, and we went by a parking garage that said, Cam, pull in. She said, what? I said, yeah, we need to pull in. She said, are you sure about this? I said, oh, I'm quite sure about this. She said, but I said, I don't care. I'm on vacation. Nobody's going to see me again. I'm going in there. We're going to Ben and Jerry's. You should have seen the look when I went into Ben and Jerry's. Who is this guy and where did he come from? But the point is this, folks. The point is that God has changed me. I don't kick chairs and destroy classrooms and lose my mind. I don't. You see, I couldn't do anything with my external surroundings, but God could do something within my inner being. When I chose and said, I want to know Jesus, Jesus said this, I'm glad that you want to know me, now I'm going to change you. And now I'm going to bring peace into your life. And in a matter of mere minutes, I was able to go from a place of destruction and, oh my goodness, my shorts are ruined, to a place of, let's get ice cream. Who can do that? God can do that. Jesus can do that. See, Norman Bartlett once said this, we cannot have the peace of God until we have peace with God. That peace comes from believing in and loving and living for God and His Son. Walter B. Knight shares a story. He says, two artists put upon canvas their concepts of peace. One artist painted a placid rural scene in the center of which was a country home. Adjacent to the home were fertile fields and an abundant harvest. The undulating roads stretched in different directions from the home toward the horizon. A lazy haze hovered over the glen and dale. One could almost hear the rustle of the ripened wheat swayed with the kiss of the gentle breeze. A friendly sun shone upon the blissful picture of calm and contentment. Cows lay lazily under a shade tree chewing their cuds. The other artist gave a totally different concept of peace. A destroying tempest raged in the painting. Trees swayed to and fro on the storm-lashed mountainside in the valley. The sky was ominous and gloomy, relieved only by the zigzag flashes of lightning. A roaring waterfall lunged furiously over the precipice, working disaster in the valley below. Knight asks, why could the artist call this violent, turbulent scene a representation of peace? Because on a rock projecting from the cliff, sheltered by an overhanging boulder, sat a little bird calmly on its nest, seemingly unmindful of the howling storm or the raging waters which plunged downward nearby. There the little bird sat in peace, with no fear, unperturbed and undisturbed. Knight says, in this world, God's children live and move and have their being amidst scenes of turmoil and tribulation, strain, stress, and storm. Inwardly, their hearts and minds are kept by God in ever-deepening peace and calm. Daily, they prove the genuineness of the promise that is found in Isaiah 26:3, which says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he is trusting in thee, end quote. I want to look at our sermon text today. It's a short one. Let's read this. This is from Colossians 3:15. Here's what Paul says. He says, let the peace of heart, which comes from Christ, be always present in your hearts and lives. For this is your responsibility and privilege as members of his body. And always be thankful. Now that word always is important. You see, our external surroundings, our extenuating circumstances that we think provide peace are only temporary at best. Pastor Emil Jinks found temporary peace in that old rocker until he found out about those old peanuts. I had peace in that stream until I fell in that stream. My schedule did not allow me to stay on my balcony. Your golf course, your garden, your fishing hole, your hammock, your place of peace is temporary. At best, you can't always be there. But this thing that beats and continues to keep us alive, this thing, as long as we are living, is always in here. And in Colossians 3:15, Paul tells us it's our responsibility, if we want peace, to have him in here. Paul calls it a privilege. We might even call it a rite of passage or a passive passage to a place of peace. And when the Holy Spirit is in here, 1 Corinthians 6:19, he, the Holy Spirit, changes our inner being and plays the role of comforter. I want to read John 14:15-19. Listen to what Jesus says here. Jesus says, if you love me, obey me, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads in all truth. The world at large cannot receive him, for it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him, but you do. For he lives with you now and someday shall be in you. No, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you in just a little while. I will be gone from the world, but I will still be present with you. Verse 16. He says, I'll never leave you. And yet we're reminded that we always have to leave those external surroundings, those places of peace that we love so much. Jesus says, I will leave you. Now what's interesting to notice is Jesus says, I'm going to send another comforter. You know what that means? That means Jesus is saying, I am the comforter, but I've got to go. So I'm going to make sure that you're comforted. I'm going to make sure that you have peace. I'm going to make sure that you have rest because I care about you. The world does not care about you. I'm sorry, it's true. But God does. And God says, I want peace for all of you. In fact, I can give peace to all of you, but we have got to have him as part of our inner being. Galatians 5:22 and Galatians 5:23, two of my favorite passages, talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Folks, here's what I'm going to tell you. This thing right here that beats inside of your body, this is a fruit manufacturing and producing machine. There are 9 fruits that the Holy Spirit can produce within you. Number 3 on that list, I bet you don't know, love, joy, guess what number 3 is? It is peace. When the Holy Spirit lives within you, he creates this machine that allows you to feel and produce peace. You will feel peace like you never know. You'll fall in a mountain stream and say, it's all good. I want coffee, buzz, buzz, and I'm going to get it. That's what God can do. God can take you to a place of peace that you never understood when you say, I want you in me. Today, the question is, do we want him in us? You see, the unbelieving world will have no peace according to Jesus. They don't understand this because they don't know Jesus. Look at John 14:25-27. And in that passage, Jesus concludes by saying this. He says, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Comforter instead of me, and by the Comforter I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you much as well as remind you of everything I myself have told you. I am leaving you. Here it comes. He says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. You know what fragile peace is? Fragile peace looks like a golf course. It looks like a garden. It looks like a balcony. It looks like a stream. It looks like a mountaintop. It looks like a treetop. It looks like a place where there is peace. But I can tell you it's fragile at best. This is what Jesus promises us. He gives us peace. Paul said in Romans 8:6, following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace, but following after the old nature leads to death. Now, I'm going to admit something I've never told anyone until last night when I practiced my sermon with my family. They already know. They just didn't ruin the surprise. I'm an open book. I'll tell you anything. But I can't believe I'm telling you this. This is a true story. It is true. And it's accurate. When I was growing up, probably till I was about 13, you're already thinking, oh my heavens, what's he going to say? It's not that bad, but it is pretty embarrassing on my part. I never knew what R period, I period, P period meant. I'd see it on gravestones. I was a huge Scooby-Doo fan. You'd always see him walking around the gravestones, and I'd see R.I.P. I never knew what it meant. I had no clue. I am not kidding you. Until I was a teenager, no clue. I know that's hard for you to believe. Many of you are looking at me like, really? It's true. I thought maybe the last name was Rip. I thought maybe, I was like, that's weird. There's a lot of Rips that have died. Maybe they died of ripping. And then one day, I don't remember where I was or how it happened, but somebody said, rest in peace. And I said, R.I.P., rest in peace. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, obviously. That was what I realized, that meant rest in peace. Now, here's my point. We don't have to be dead to have peace and rest. We don't have to. It doesn't have to say it in our gravestones because it can be engraved on our heart. We don't need to have that. You see, when we're alive in Christ, his peace gives us rest. John 14:27 proves this. There is no trouble, there is no fear for those who have peace. We can be walking around and we can think we should be afraid of this, but we're not. Because Jesus Christ gives us peace. Matthew 11:28, one of the great, I'm biased, but one of the greatest passages in all Scripture. Folks, immerse yourselves in this verse. Jesus says in this famous verse, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You know what weary and burden is? That means you're trouble. That means you're trial. That means you got sorrows. That means you got shame. That means you're dealing with issues. And God says, all you got to do is come to me. You just come to me. I'll give you peace and I'll give you rest. That allows us to rest in his peace. Paul said in Philippians 4:7, his peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Pastor Tony Evans once said, God has a zone for his spirit. It's called a place of rest. And when we Christians finally receive rest from God's peace through his Son and by his Spirit, then we are, as Paul put it in our sermon text, called to always be thankful. I know you think this might be strange, but it's true. I was wet, I was muddy, I got out of the stream, and I instantly realized, like, oh my, I'm not mad. I should be mad. I mean, I should be really mad right now. I'm wet, I'm muddy, I can't go to Ben and Jerry's. I'm not mad. What's going on? Oh, thank you, God, for giving me peace. Let's go get coffee, buzz, buzz. By the way, that's a Ben and Jerry's flavor that's really good. I love it. My point is this. God can give us peace, and God can give us rest if we're willing to allow him to do it. Joshua 21:44, David, Psalm 29:11, Solomon, 1 Kings 5:4, Paul, Romans 5:1, found peace and rest. You say, big deal. They're in the Bible. Of course they did. I tell you this, it is a big deal. Because those men experienced a lot of things that weren't called peace and rest in their lives. How did those men find peace and rest? It's because they obeyed God and they loved Jesus. That's how they found peace and rest. Once these rested and peace-filled men of faith found their peace, they didn't choose to sit back and physically rest. They rather became peacemakers. They taught others how they could be at peace. And folks, that's what we are called to do today. See, you can't share with others about peace until you have peace. You can't tell others where to get peace until you know where to find peace. And once you find it, and once you have it, and once you know it, we're called to share it. We're called to go out and spread this peace to a world that has no peace. That's what we're called to do. David said in Psalm 34:14, turn from all known sin and spend your time in doing good. Try to live in peace with everyone. Work hard at it. That means that you bridge the ties and the gaps between family members and friends that you might be estranged from today. If you're mad at somebody, get rid of it. Be a peacemaker. Go up to that person and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you're wrong, I don't care who's wrong, God's right. And he allows me to see peace. And today he gives me rest. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 3, try always to be led along together by the Holy Spirit and so be at peace with one another. Folks, we have relationships that we have got to fix. We have got a world that is not in peace and not in rest that we have got to fix. And we are called to do this because we know Jesus. Is it any wonder why Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you got peace, you got to give peace. That's what he calls us to do. We receive rest from peace, and now it's up to us to show others how to get God's peace and Christ's promise rest. We thankfully know today, strange, isn't it? Sit in this church, it's peaceful, it's comfortable, all you hear is the humming of the air conditioner. And you come into this church and you say, this is a place that I can find peace, this is a place that I can experience rest. And I hear you and I understand it. But we receive rest from peace. Now it's up to us to show others that peace, and it may not be in this place. You see, you may be called to go outside of this church, and you may be called to go up to your cubicle in your office, your classroom, your family room, dining room, wherever you are at, and you may be forced to talk to your family member, your friend, your loved one, your coworker, and you may be the one today that's going to have to explain to them and show them God's perfect peace. We know it's not found in a place, it's found in a person, God's Son, our Savior, who along with the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts forever. This is not temporary, folks. Our vacation itinerary was as follows. Get ready. Keep up. Wednesday, I don't know what day it was in August. Wednesday, we left for the Indianapolis Zoo. We had to be out of the zoo by 2 o'clock. We had to be out of the zoo at 2 o'clock, so I had to be in Lexington, Kentucky at 5 o'clock to beat traffic, to have supper, to allow the traffic crowd to move on so I could make it down to the Smoky Mountains by 9:30 p.m. to check into our condo. We made it at 9:32. It didn't end there. Thursday morning, we got up after my coffee or my chai tea latte on my balcony, went to Dollywood, rode all the rides. I had peace. Did all of that, came back, told the girls, I said, we're going to go swimming. Left swimming, went out for supper, went out and did a lot more fun things. Got up Friday morning, went to Subway, got our picnic lunch, went left, got to Smoky Mountain National Park, had lunch, came back, Ben and Jerry's, went swimming, went out, Hollywood Wax Museum, went out for supper. Saturday morning, got up, had to be gone at a certain time. We were in Louisville at Embassy Suites, exactly at the prescribed time. I beat my brother there by 3 minutes. We met them. We went to the Louisville Slugger Museum, ate supper, went ziplining underneath the city in a cave 100 feet above the ground. All of it on time. Got up Sunday morning, went to Holiday World. We were at the water park, the amusement park. We were home by 9 o'clock p.m. I beat it by an hour. That was my vacation. I needed a vacation from my vacation. This is what we do. Now, I know what you're thinking. That doesn't sound like much fun. In fact, I know you're probably thinking, that sounds stressful. It was restful. It was. It was restful. Maybe not for everybody else, but for me, it was restful. Because Jesus was alive, and Jesus is living in my heart. And because even amidst all those crazy external surroundings and the circumstances and the time changes and the clock and everything else I had to deal with, Jesus was in and is in my heart. So here's what we have to do today. As Christians, we have to help bring peace to the rest. That's how we rest in peace. And today we have a tall task ahead of us, because this world says, I don't know peace. And I don't know where to find peace. And today, we're asking you, because God is asking us, to tell others that they can find rest and they can find peace in Jesus. So as we stand and close today, we've had prayer for two very, very special people that I dearly love. If there is anybody in this church that says, I don't know peace, and I need rest, and I know that we're all there, and I know that we're stressed, I know that we're bombarded with things, trials and troubles and sorrows. Folks, if you've got them, bring them to the altar today. I promise you this. I promise you this. Our prayer team, our pastor team, our board members will come up and they will pray with you. And we will ask God through his power to bring you peace and give you rest. A promise that God keeps for all of us. Let's stand and close and sing this song, song that we know, Forever Rain. That's what he is. The tears that you see in this church today are tears of joy, because let me tell you something, we all know what he can do. Folks, if you have a broken relationship within your family today, mend it now. Allow Jesus' peace to mend that relationship. Do not allow that relationship to grow broken any longer. If you have a broken relationship at your workplace, show them what peace really is. Show them who Jesus really is. It is today our responsibility to bring peace and rest to every single person that we meet and know. No broken relationships, no unmended bridges. Today, this is our responsibility. Love those around us and among us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every single thing that you've done, but for more than that, just for making us aware that you are the one that provides peace, that it comes through God's Son, your Son, that it comes through the Holy Spirit that fills us. Today, I pray that you'll help us to see this. Pray today that we'll stop looking in places. Rather, I pray that we'll seek you and give you a place in our heart. And I pray today that you'll move in us and change us. We thank you for this day. Go with us now. Keep us safe and help us to spread peace among this world that does not know peace. And help us to show others Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.